Hey, Stubbs, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I don't know if you want to just jump in and tell people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, thanks for having me on. I've never been interviewed before like this, so this is a different side being on the other side of the camera. I'm Stubbs, and I run a community called Retro Handhelds, or RH for short. We cover all things retro handhelds. We also do a Game of the Month program, and we have a podcast where we interview other YouTubers, and also we like to just get involved with like community spreadsheets and tracking performance on these things, and help out with custom firmware, get involved with devs, but also we do content creation, and I do videos on our YouTube channel, occasionally write for our blog and our website, and I don't know, other stuff too. Yeah, I don't know. How are you?
Cool.
I'm good. It's 6 a.m. here and 9 p.m. there. So
yeah, I know. I'm getting ready for bed. You are waking up for the day. You're in South Africa, right?
That's it, yeah.
We got to have you on the show next. And we'll swap it. I'll be more comfortable then. Now I'm like, must not play host. I'm not on a live stream. We're not talking about pickles.
Yeah, you've got all sorts of like weird memes that you guys have going on. I often just hop on the Discord and I'm like, what the hell are these guys talking about? I don't really even know. Cool. So I wanted to like kind of give people a little bit of a background of how this all started, because when I got into retro gaming, for me, it was Rust Retro Game Core, which I've spoken about a lot in the other podcast. But what I didn't mention is that Retro Handhelds was always there, like this like resource of information and people. So even on my YouTube channel, if I don't know the answer to a question, I say, listen, have you seen the Discord? There's just people there ready to help. So how did that all come about? What were you doing at the time, you know?
Well, Retro Handhelds was a community originally called Retroid Handhelds, because the Retroid Pocket 2 was the most beautiful device I had ever seen in my life. And it couldn't have come at a more perfect time. All right. We were in the middle of COVID and I started working from home as many people did. And I got a bit of cabin fever. I got a little restless. I had been working on music for a heavy stretch there and I got a little bit burnt out on some of that stuff. And I was looking to change direction. So I took that passion, kind of put it back into this childhood nostalgia for retro gaming, and seeing that Retroid Pocket 2, and I watched, you know, Taki's video about it, and I'd been following Retro Dodo's stuff and Obscure Handhelds. That was a great website that really used to be a big influence in the scene. And long story short, I don't know if you want the full specifics because it gets a little bit raunchy here.
That's up to you. Yeah, just tell us as much as you like.
I want to be an open book for you. I want to do you proud, okay, cool. Aiden. So I was on there. I was July the 29th, 2020, pooping, and I see the Retroid Pocket 2 on my phone, and I'm like, that is everything that I love about retro gaming. I'm like, this is going to be a emulator from China, an emulation device from China, but yet it looks like a Nintendo Switch. And
yeah, it was really pretty, wasn't it?
And I saw Taki showing off. It's playing up to, you know, PS1, N64, Dreamcast. That's incredible. For what? Around $100? That's crazy. So I ordered one, and there were no other places on the internet to talk about it. Nobody else. I couldn't find anybody else to get excited with me. Like, look at this. I ordered like three of them. And it was my wife's birthday, or that was before we were married. But I'm like, I got her one and I got me one. And then I got a third one because there were three colorways. There was pink, blue, and pink, blue, and yellow. You're right. Yeah. Indigo came later. Yeah. So there was first three. And I got to tell you, those first, I think it was 2 months almost, month or 2 months of waiting, not ordering something from China directly before, was insane. It was so tough waiting. And anyways, there was no subreddit to go to. There was no Discord. Yeah. There was nothing. Mm. So I'm like, all right, I've never made a Discord and never made a subreddit, but I need to find other people to talk about this thing. So I made a subreddit called r/retroid and made a Discord called Retroid Handhelds Multiplayer Netplay. I think it was called. And people started showing up little by little. Yeah. Other people are like, oh, there's other people talking about this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And for reference, for people who are listening or watching and don't know what this device is, talking about this bad boy. And this is the 2 Plus, of course, but the same body. Yes, sir.
Crazy.
And I don't know. Sure, the D-pad, you know, the sticks don't click in.
The slider. Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's a little rough around the edges. And the first iteration, the 2 didn't have a touchscreen, and that is tough for Android, as we learned. It didn't matter. You know, it called back to something in childhood. And yeah. So made the Reddit, made the Discord. People were coming in. Now, all of a sudden, it's growing really fast. And people are wanting to do more than just do net play. Because I really thought Discord is where you meet up to find people to play net play games with. Like, play Dr. Mario together.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do that. Everybody wanted to gush about the device. But mainly, they wanted to use their boredom and free time to come up with wallpapers for the device, start early modding plans. I met my friend Thor during these early days, who later would run a lot of this brand with me. There's other communities like this, like the Odin one that popped up. The community gets super into it. Obsessive. Yeah. There's meme culture and all that. And so, yeah, so we started that up. I made a small mod team and we just ran the Discord. Now, eventually, after we were done playing tech support for Retroid because we were just in there helping everybody. And then we're in the thousands, 5,000, 10,000 people. And we got a little sick of talking about just Retroid devices. You know, eventually we were like, oh, there's other retro handhelds out there. There's the Anbernix. There's the POW Kitties, GPD. And GPD was my original retro handheld, by the way, the XD. But yeah. So we want to talk about other things. So we changed the name in January 2021 to Retro Handhelds. So we did that. And Retroid at first wasn't super stoked about that. So.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
Well, so we heard. So we had heard. And I don't know. I just still don't know if that's the case or not. And it was always like, well, no offense to Retroid, but we were supporting the Retroid Pocket 2 pretty heavily. You know, this was before they had a Western rep or a Western tech support guy. Chris Covers now, who handles that job admirably, by the way. And they have their own Discord now, which I'm really happy for. And we got to branch out and talk about other stuff because guess what? We got really excited about the 351P. And it's like, hey, guys, we can talk about the 351P now publicly. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, there was a period where we were all very excited about Ambernic because, you know, like the 351P, even the 350M, they were like really good devices. And so, I mean, to be limited to only talk about Retroid, you know, it's a bit frustrating.
And that 351 or 350M, that first metal from Ambernic, so good. Just I remember feeling the classiness of it. You know, it was solid. Yeah. It was just well built. And I'm like, this is God tier design. You know, it's like something Apple would make or something. Mm. It didn't have Wi-Fi. Didn't have touchscreen. It had Linux. It had OpenDingX on it. It wasn't perfect. But for them.
Yeah, we were very forgiving in those early days.
We were. And now look at us. Mm. We're spoiled. We're Picky. Spoiled for choice. Yeah. And so our standards get raised, I feel like, every device cycle. And we're just a little more critical because, well, we have so many devices. We have hundreds of devices to pick from now.
But on that note, like I'm busy with the 2S review. And it is interesting because you mentioned that the 2 was $99. This thing is still $99. That's pretty impressive now, huh? Because I was just going to say the reason we're getting more picky is that everything's getting more expensive. But hats off to Retroid with this device. Really good.
Yeah, and the and they really, in my mind, perfected the original dream that drew me towards the product was finally realized, I think, in the 2S here. They made clickable sticks. They put the D-pad up top with a really much nicer Odin D-pad. You got these analog L2, R2, man. Yeah. And you have a much better quality screen.
Yeah, I wish it was bigger, but it's, you know. Yeah.
And some people, like Joey, I watched your episode with Joey. He likes the smaller, more compact devices. And I can go either way. I really can. If they can pull off ergonomics on a small device, good on them.
Which they have done. Yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling to be super objective in my review because I just love it. I think it's a great device.
Because it's too small?
No. Like in terms of I'm too positive.
You like it too much? Oh, I do too, though. But you have to understand it's okay to praise a device if you like it. I like it. It's not perfect by any means, but it makes me happy. And so I'm a little more joyful talking about it than maybe something that
fuzzy
that wasn't a great first experience. Like shall not be named KTR1, which I'm still trying to love it. I really am.
Yeah, I haven't received. Well, I'd never ordered it.
This is one I bought. You know, it wasn't a review unit or anything. I was disappointed in the quality right out the gate. The first presentation, and that first presentation can be big, especially if it's the company's first outing. I remember the first moment that I had the RP2 in my hands. All of that months of building it up and building it up, and you get it, and it's kind of like their first one. It wasn't good. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The reality of it, it's kind of like, okay, NetPlay's broken. It really doesn't work well right now. So that dream's out the window. It doesn't have clickable sticks. We knew that. But the reality of it kind of sucks when you've been playing on a PS4 all of Corona. And not only that, but Android without a touchscreen? The reality of it almost didn't matter to me at that point because I had made new friends all across the world in Australia and the EU. And it's like these connections with people are so special to me, you know?
Yeah.
The device brought that. And so therefore, I have good memories, nostalgic memories for the device. But the device itself was kind of a train wreck. But we were forgiving back then. And now I think they finally released that device that they originally promised. And so guess what? I'm giving them a pass because it took a few years, but here we are. And I'm stoked on that.
Yeah. And when you put the timeline together, it's not that long, Ham. I mean, when I got into this, I thought, wow, I'm really coming late to the scene. But when you say, I mean, you got into it during lockdown. I didn't get into it much longer after that. I got my 350M, which is, where does that put us? 2021, somewhere around
there. 350M was very early 2021, I think. I remember. Yeah.
And I got it towards the end, I think.
It might have been the end of 2020, actually. But those were the Wild West days. We were excited over like the five devices that were out.
And it's interesting because, I mean, I keep asking where to from here because it's been a very short space of time and, you know, things have, as tech goes, things have progressed pretty quickly, which is very exciting. You know, there's an active buying community, people who are buying all the devices, you know, not everyone, but there's a very active community who are just like wondering whether they should buy the next device. So it's been very exciting. I'm pretty sure sales are slowly but surely slowing compared to those early days. But it's interesting that it all happened so quickly.
Yeah. It just did. It kind of exploded. And I do think that COVID had a hand in that. I think that there was already a building community. You had it through Dodo. You had it through ETA Prime, through Taki. And then Retro Game Core came on the scene and changed the game. He said
he did, didn't he?
This is what the review standard is going to be for the scene. And he didn't do it in any sort of bossy big dog way. He just humbly came in, did his thing, and sort of that was a template. And eventually the bug bit me for the YouTube stuff too. It was a couple of years later, but
yes,
I was like, I got my first review unit was the Retroid Pocket 2 Plus. And it tickled me that a company would send me something and I could review it. And it's like, that could be a job. That's a thing. Well, Rust does it. Yeah. But nobody can do that. Nobody can replicate that. And you can't. And you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But
you will die.
You will die. I know Russ's people and he'll meet you in a back alley.
No, I mean, just trying to keep up with his work ethic.
Oh yeah, I know. It's tough work. No. So I did that first review, and it was done in basically my what is now my signature style, which is just rambling middle-aged man off the cuff. And then I'll sometimes edit the ums out and the uhs out and all the fluff, and sometimes I won't. More and more, I don't edit that stuff out so much because it's all kind of part of it. It's all part of the language of the review.
Part of the retro handouts, like brand, like that sort of casual, fun, community-based stuff.
Yeah, coming at it not from a content creator's perspective. Coming at it from, okay, I've been supporting this device and been like, I don't know what to call what I was. I guess just community manager for a long time. And here's their second device. We've since pivoted to talking about all devices. Does Retroid still have a name in the game? My answer was yes. I fell in love with the 2 Plus the moment I had it. And I will admit, on that first unit, part of that was the fact that I was getting it for free. Like, it was enchanting. You know, it was almost like, and it's not that it impacted my view positively or negatively. It was more like I wanted to make sure I gave it everything in my soul, that I wanted to give the brand everything from me in that review, all of it out. So I gave all my negatives, all my positives. I said that it was a magical device and that it made me feel like childhood magic again. And still to this day, I don't know the device besides maybe the 35XX has quite reached that level for me. The 2S certainly does almost, but part of it's also almost a little bit too little too late because now everything is raised standard wise. And now I'm looking at other stuff anyways. I put everything I had into that 2 Plus review and it burnt me out, man. I worked on that for like 2 weeks. And this was like December 2021. And I was going to quit. I was like, I'm not going to do device reviews.
It's too much.
We'll use the YouTube channel to just do our audio podcast, which Thor and I recorded at the time. We'd started that late 2020. We'll just put that on YouTube. Why don't we show our faces and we'll use our YouTube channel for that? Cause device reviews are too much work. eventually, you know, I was like, you know, I wanted to give it another shot. The Odin came in. How can you not review the Odin? Like, how can you not show that off on camera? It happened to be that I got the first Odin I think it was the first America Odin order. And nobody had done anything yet. There was no streams. So there was no unboxings. There was nothing. Wow. There was in China, you know, Taki obviously had done videos and there was might have been people like Nitrix and other people on that side, but nothing in the States yet. And so my brain's ticking. I'm like, okay, I don't know if this live stream stuff works, but I'm going to do a live stream. And fired up YouTube. I don't remember what I used back then. I think I just tried to do it straight through OBS, whatever the case. I did a 4-hour live stream on the Odin, unboxing it. And since then, a lot of people hit me up. Like, that 4-hour live stream was just off the cuff. It was just the device in its raw state, from setup to playing it, to enjoying it, to getting mad at it, to getting happier with it. And the battery, you know, I got to show the battery in real time, how it doesn't die after 4 hours. It lasts something like 8 to 9 hours. That device was incredible. That was another one. It was so hyped up that no matter what you did with it, it didn't matter because the hype was too big by that point. So I don't remember what I said in my review. I loved it. It had its issues, but I mostly loved it. And then I had to actually get rid of it because otherwise I wouldn't cover other handhelds and the dream would be over.
I would stop
making videos because I'm like, this is the one device. So I actually immediately sent it to Thor. And I said, why don't you do something with it? He did a teardown and other stuff. Okay. But I couldn't play with it because I would just play with that and then not talk about these other devices that I had ordered now from Pow Kitty. And the Miu Mini was just coming out. I'm like, I have to get in the mindset. I have to get in the mindset to make a video on the Miu Mini because, I don't know, because I want to keep doing this. I want to keep trying. I want to keep learning. I want to keep iterating on what I'm doing and try to do my best. But I can't do that with this Odin in the house because it plays PS2. So what else? What's the point?
Regarding the community. So, you know, because when you speak about it, I don't know if it's humility or what, but you're making it sound almost accidental, which I suppose it is. I mean, I was telling you how this podcast was kind of an accident, but, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Like, there's intention there somewhere. And what I'm trying to say is you've built a really good community, like the live streams, like you obviously got a really good experience with the Odin and kept going with those. And I'm really glad because you are building the community. Like for me, as someone from the outside coming in a little bit later, to me, Retro Handouts was the community, even if I can't remember what the numbers were back then in terms of how many people on the Discord and how big your YouTube channel and that was.
Yeah, we worked very hard to promote the Discord out there. Like we grassroots promoted it. We want to only have channels for actively talked about devices. Otherwise, we retire channels. We look at metrics. We review metrics weekly to see what's the most talked about channels. And we keep it a lively place for the devices that people most want to talk about. That's our goal. It's not going to have every device you could ever think about. We don't have things like the DigiDock, these sort of obscure things. But eventually we created a forum called Obscure Devices inside our Discord. And we gave everybody permission to go in and create their own forum posts. If there's a device you love, you don't see a channel for it, great. Go in. Our Discord community is all self-service now. So when you join, there's an onboarding process. You pick, what do you want to see? You know, what brands do you want to talk about? What do you care about? Or there's an opt-out. Give me nothing. Next, what content creators do you follow? And then it will give you channels. We partner with some content creators. And then a general content creator feed, which we need to add you in, by the way, where it's like Mr. Sujano, Taki's videos, all are going to auto-pop up in there so people can win them easy. It's all bot-controlled. You know, when you release a video, it goes straight to that channel. And then people can talk about it in that channel. A lot of the memes that lately Sujano releases daily videos, so they call it Mr. Sujano channel. Because his videos far outnumber everybody else's numbers wise. Anyway, I don't know if I answered your question there.
It does kind of like, I was kind of almost just like, just saying it really is great what you guys have put together. And I think the important thing with any forum, like before we started, I was talking about how I kind of accidentally got into some really toxic online communities in the past. And it's
we
important
have that
to
here
have someone
too.
Like yourself. Yeah, but you've got a person running the thing who's taken it upon themselves to maintain that, you know, which I think is why it is successful, because you are constantly managing that, you know?
Thanks, man. Dude, we moderate our Discord community hard. You know, we don't stand for any hate stuff. We don't put up with any of that BS, you know, racism, anything that can be considered toxic in a community. We really work hard to filter that out for people and quickly take moderation action. Trying not to be unfair. We give people chances. If we see there's a chance to just simply educate somebody, that always takes precedence first. We give people a lot of chances before finally, sometimes, unfortunately, we have to do the Discord mod thing and ban somebody, kick somebody. And that sucks. I'm like, well, that didn't work out. But they didn't want to help themselves. And we can't cater to every member who wants to treat others poorly, especially because we're crossing like 30,000 members now, and that's too difficult to take on. You open the door for one person to act that way and get away with it. You have all of a sudden a shift in the tone.
Yeah,
and we've been consistent, I think, to stay on track with the vibe of the community since 2020, when we launched August 9th, 2020, and for the Discord anyways, till now. I think we still have the same vibe. And I don't know, but I do, hearing your feedback is really, really nice. And that warms my heart to hear, man.
Cool.
To hear stuff like that from people, because it's tough. We're getting bigger. And how do you maintain a quality environment for people? I think it's tough, but I think we're doing okay. I'm proud of our team. It's not just me. No. It is a team of people.
Yes. So that's what I want to talk about next. So when I first reached out to you, you were kind of, so it was kind of that Odin stage where you were kind of deciding whether you were going to keep doing videos, and you told me how Russ was encouraging you to make videos. So let's talk a little bit about that, how you now have multiple people making various videos. How did that come about? How are you managing that? Are these just guys that are part of the community that you've gotten to know? Like, how does that all work, you know?
So it's always been the same thing. It's always been, strangely enough, people who eventually join the Patreon program, patreon.com/retrohandhelds, shilling all the time. No.
It's all good.
It's people who join that program. Do you have a Patreon, by the way? I want to join your Patreon.
I'm so bad with that stuff. I realize I probably am not. No, I don't.
Okay.
I should have one.
I'll just think about you fondly then. And watch your video.
Same good vibes from America.
Anyways, what was I saying? Patreon, right? So people join the Patreon. That puts them into this private Discord chat where I've gotten to know a lot of these fans who started out as fans. Some of them, I'm like, you're so talented. You know, you are really good at some of this stuff, whether it be a writer or wanting to make videos or just, you know, being helpful. I get to know people, and we share our pain. We share our, you know, victories of the day, food we've been eating. And over time, you build trust. And then I'm like, hey, I'm getting a little stressed out. It's hard to spin all these plates. You're good at this thing. Do you want to spin one of these plates? And it's worked out where a number of people have wanted to spin plates with me. Zoo, Mr. Mr. Zoo of Zoo Reviews, and Aish. Aish, I ran into through our Facebook group.
Yes.
He reached out about our Odin, 4-hour Odin stream. He's like, hey, that really helped me, you know, to buy an Odin eventually. We got to talking, and he ran a fitness-based Facebook group that had 90,000 members. I'm like, man, you got moderation and admin skills. You should come hang out in Discord. He's like, what's Discord? What do I do in Discord?
What is a Discord?
And I'm like, yeah, man, come join the Discord. And first I gave him the ability to moderate. We have a Facebook group too, by the way. It's like only about 9,000 people or so, but it's its own vibe. It's its whole own community. It's so weird. And now Aish runs that almost solo because he's so good at running. He's so good at running Facebook groups that I'm terrible at it, and I'm bad at keeping up with it. There's a lot of cool people on that group, including Aish, and he does a good job running that one. And then Zoo is he's an interesting story. I guess Zoo's always been around. I guess he's always kind of been around. And okay. I was scared of him for a long time. He concerned me. He always was posting pictures of Michael Myers masks, and I thought maybe he was a serial killer who joined our Patreon, and I didn't want to sort of rock the boat or tell him my address. And so, unfortunately, I eventually had to give him my address because he had enough points from our Game of the Month program to get a free RH messenger bag. Right. And once he had my address, I figured might as well make him a reviewer and give him all the power in the server. He actually temporarily ran the server while I was on vacation last month. Okay. Mostly out of fear. But, you know, so he joined and he brought along with him this man who lived in a homeless shelter down the street named Gary, who used his house for BM and shower and also... you know, used his computer to use the internet. And so Gary ended up becoming Zoo's producer. He had no prior experience or knowledge, either of them. And Zoo's videos have been Zoo's videos since day one. They've been the exact same quality that you've come to expect until now, where the quality has stayed the same and has become our sponsor ad ambassador. He's making ads for Mint Mobile now, and he's basically become Ryan Reynolds. So. He's way more micro famous than I am, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, anyways.
Yeah, nano famous.
There was Zoo, and then you have a writer's Rocket Man, and you have Raven Mage, who do written reviews. We had Flatfoot Fox do reviews for a long time. We had Thor, who used to do videos for us, and we did our podcast together for a long time. Rip Thor, miss you. He left us this year, unfortunately, and that was a whole thing. But people come and go, and that's okay. I've learned that that's okay. You know, not everyone has to come in, because when you start adding people to your crew, they become like family, especially during COVID, where we were all isolated. And so we've had a lot of people come and then leave over time who weren't there as part of the 2020 crew. But more to your point, we have a varied crew. We have Damien. I just want to call everyone out, but I can't. There's a number of people who help out Retro Handhelds, and you are all appreciated. And I couldn't do what I do without your help, because I am a neurotic mess most hours of the day and night. And while I can get a lot done some days, other days I'm just so flustered I have to just not do anything and go play Starfield. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it's so funny because you said, I'm busy playing Starfield. We can talk about it in the podcast. And then when I fired up everything this morning, Steam was like, you should play Starfield. Come play now. And I'll go check it out later.
It's an escape. It's an escape from your life is what it is. But it's a really good escape.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems to be highly recommended, so I'll give it a go. I need to get myself a Windows handheld.
You don't have a Windows handheld yet?
I do not. So I've been kind of going sub 250 devices.
I know. I watched your other interviews. I know why, but
you know,
the ROG Ally does everything.
You're making me
It's pretty comfy. It's just that maybe you don't want to cover it on your channel, because then, like Russ was saying, you will open yourself up to some spicy comments.
Spicy comments, yeah. They sell those locally with a warranty and everything. But, dude, it's like 16,000 Rand. It's crazy.
I know. Get one.
That's why you guys need to come onto my channel, more famous people, so that my channel can blow up and then I can
Then you'll have money to get the things. Ally. And they do sell, give review units for some of these, some of the time. Usually you have to go through a dropshipper like GeekBuying or GoGameGeek, but they'll often either loan you a GPD, like Win Mini or Win 4, or send one for a review. Now, they'll ask you for like 3 videos and constantly be like, where's my video? Where's my video? We sent you an $800 device. I'm like, you're going to have to calm down, because this is
I suppose you can
right
understand
now.
That,
You know, so I'm more towards Joey's take, where it's like, kind of just want to buy, especially the higher end stuff, because I don't want to feel pressure. Because when I get something like that for free, I feel even more pressure, 3 times as much pressure to make sure I've covered everything a Windows handheld can do. And they can do a lot more than these lower end handhelds. So the reviews take
can really go
a
off the
lot
deep end
longer.
That. Yeah, I feel like I was watching Tech Dweeb the other day, and I think he has managed to get that down to an art where he'll get a device that's, you know, he just got sent it. And it, to me, it seems like, how the hell are you going to make a video about this? And he just pulls one out the bag. He's really good. He's a creative genius.
He's found a way to make he's brought this character to life that is so well articulated, but yet perfect for what he's going for. It's like that 80s stereotype of a nerd, of a dweeb.
Yes, yeah.
He personified. And he's done really successful with that. Now, people might not know this, but Stubbs is a character, you know. It's not me.
Yes.
My name's Peter. I'm a little more shy than that guy. Stubbs is a persona I put on the first time I stepped onto a podcast, because I was scared to talk about myself, scared to put my opinion out there. But Stubbs, that dude's crazy. You know, he'll talk about anything. I don't know, man, but he lives a wild life. But it's like Larry David. It's like, Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's where I take inspiration from. And the Loveline radio show from back in the day, Adam Carolla did the same thing. It's where you exaggerate yourself for entertainment. And it's just a very, very exaggerated version of myself. I don't feel up to doing some of these streams some days, but I still, you know,
just
get in that mindset.
That
and I'm like, all right, turn Stubbs on. And it's like, what's going on, everybody? This is Stubbs from Retro Handhelds, and we're going to talk about spicy pickles today. Everyone get your pickle tasting things out, and we're going to put some hot sauce and lick it off the badonk of this dude handheld. Who does that? Who is that guy? I don't know that, you know, like that's so disconnected from me, who's much more sort of introverted and shy. But I've had to build a character, an outgoing character in my life. And I did it from being a musician for a long time. That's where I learned that, you know, you go on stage, you have to play music. And, yeah, such a shy kid in high school. I cried. And I remember first day of kindergarten, I cried when somebody looked at me wrong. And shit. I'm still that kid today. That kid loved games. And now I'm like tapping into that kid energy, but combining it with like my years of experience of being in a nerdy, kind of awkward, cool punk rock band. I don't know. And mesh them into this character that I get to go on YouTube and have the most fun ever, because none of that touches me. And I get to turn the stream off, go take my dogs for a walk. And comments come in, and they're often positive, but sometimes the hurtful stuff comes in too. And that's, that can be tough to deal with. And I have to remember that is aimed at Stubbs. That's not aimed at Peter. And I have to tell myself
it's a great
that
way
to sort
cope.
Of get through.
Yeah. But so let's move into that, because it is interesting, because I've noticed us talking now, kind of the veil is off and you're just being yourself. And you mentioned that you, because I've mentioned this on every single podcast now, that I was just recently, it's kind of been, I've been processing it. So I like tell everyone I was diagnosed with ADHD, and you were like, that is what I'm dealing with too. It sounds like you were a shy kid, and some issues that you've dealt with in the past and even now. And so the persona helps, I guess. But like, maybe you can just talk a little bit about that. Like, because that's where I was getting at with, you know, you are spinning so many plates. And when you said, you know, you're struggling with some of these issues, I was like, how is this guy doing all this, you know? So, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I would say pain and anxiety are a beautiful creation tool, I would say.
That's interesting.
I'd say that's... You know, I used to pour that into music, that especially like solo music, that has never been commercially successful for me, was meaningful. And now I'm putting that energy into this more, and it doesn't. Exactly. I can be having a bad day, and then I can vent on one of our live streams and vent some real life stuff. But I, instead of talking about that stuff, I kind of vented out through my mannerisms on the show, and I can address some difficult topics while staying really lighthearted about it, and that's cool. And then afterwards, it's kind of like I felt like I had a bit of a therapy session, even though it was just for me. Everyone else is going to take out, okay, he reviewed this handheld, but to me, I was actively processing underneath what I'm talking about. You can kind of tell sometimes when I've had a bad day, and it's subtle things, you know. It's like, I can't even think about it right now, specific examples, but, it is a shield and it works well. And yes, I do struggle with, focus issues. I haven't been diagnosed officially with ADHD, but I have to imagine, I have to imagine that's what I'm dealing with here. Mainly what I focus on, where my brain can be attacking me, is this anxiety stuff. You know, you got this monkey mind that's spinning 24 hours a day with these intrusive thoughts that are so negative sometimes. And, for me, I have to be spinning so many plates to shut them up. You know, I'm spinning a plate over here. We're running. Okay. We're doing a new, now we're going to be a news outlet. We're going to cover all the latest news. We're going to be the source on Twitter to come to for the first everything about every little handheld. We're committed to that. We've kept that up, and somebody has since replaced me. Ban is one of our guys, and he's since replaced me, and Aish, who was previously doing social media, and he's doing even better than I ever was at it. And that's what I like to do, like get the plate spinning, I learn how to do it really well. I train someone else to do it who wants to come on board with the team. And now they're spinning the plate, but they're focused on just that one or two plates and doing it so much better than I could have done most of the time. Finding the right people is important. Now I'm going to focus on the next aspect, which for me right now is turning RH into a business. And today, RH became an LLC, a registered business in this country.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's evolving, man.
Copyright the name and everything. It was so cool to finally start a bank account and, you know, doing tax stuff. And like, we are an official company. We're a brand now. And that's, I'm floored. You know, this is the first time in my life I've done something successful with my ADHD, whatever I have.
It's interesting because so growing up, I always used to say, I'm an initiator. I make things start and then I get bored of them and then I pass them on to other people. So I very much get that. I haven't been like you, what you've mastered is that delegation, which I do struggle with. I would rather just do something myself, you know?
Okay. So what you got to do, and you don't have to listen to my advice, I don't know, but what you got to do is focus on what you, this is easier said than done, focus on what you love the most. Which of your ADHD hobbies, and I'm sure you have 10 to 20 of them, like I do, ones are you good with spending a lot of time on? Much time that you are okay on the tough weeks when you're not loving it, that you still find a way to love it, that you still find a way to talk about it. Handhelds for me is luckily for some, because I've never in my life held on to something for that long, you know. And somehow this hobby has kept my attention for 3 to 4 years now. That's crazy. Even bands or music, you know, I eventually always tap out. I'm like, I'll go to start a new band or I'll go do my own thing. And then I got into drones, much like you. I got into drones for a while and making music videos with the drones. I didn't review them or anything, but just using them to create music videos for other bands. And for myself, my wife and I got into that, and our kids, we have three kids, you know, we have Nora who's 9, we have Leia who's almost 6 in October, and then we have Elliot who's a little guy and he's almost 2 now. And it was fun for us as a family to go to a field, fly the drone around. The girls are laughing, they're like, what? Oh my God, dad's airplane, you know. And that was so much fun. And then I got bored of that and moved on to handhelds, and this stuck. And I watched the progression of your channel much the same. I saw you're doing drones, cameras, reviews, and you have a camera review that's like almost 100K. And so, you have a Miu Mini video that's 100K too. So you've successfully made really successful videos in both niches. How'd you do that? I'm not the interviewer, sorry.
It is interesting. So listening to you is quite interesting because it's not so much. So I've always wanted to be a tech reviewer. It's just a weird thing. Like since I was small, since I saw people on TV and radio, and like we have a car magazine, it's called Car Magazine in South Africa. I loved the concept of reviewing stuff. I don't know why. And so then when YouTube started, YouTube for me is a thing that I've stuck to the longest. My whole life, I've had my YouTube channel is probably about 8 years old now.
That's nuts.
And for a huge portion of that, if I look at my graph, it's probably the last 5 years where I've consistently been making videos. There were patches where I stopped and where I wasn't making successful videos, but I've just kept going. And so the handles was very much for me a strategic move. Like, I saw
you made my 350. I saw your entrance into the scene.
So I saw my 350M video did kind of well, not really, like 2,000 views, which for me at the time was pretty good. And then I just saw that it was so I've seen these ebbs and flows in technology over the last like 8 years. And I was like, this is like, people might think it's at its peak, it's only beginning. And so I went for it.
You got to interview Victor Iamini because he has the same take where it's like, we're at the start. We are only at the start of this scene, really, truly. It was only 2 years ago that we had a few devices, and it's just going to get crazier. We're going to have more people entering this video space too. A lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, because something that's been stuck in my mind. So I enjoy talking about like the YouTube metrics, and so like I fired off a message to Russ because we had like a after show chat, and like all the things were bugging me, and he spoke about, you know, how I think he said it in the podcast. If not, I'll cut this out. But he was talking about how his metrics have slowed slowly over the last year or two, and he was like, maybe the market's getting saturated, maybe the retro handheld market is only so big, but that just hasn't sat well with me. I feel like maybe he's just slowed because there are more players in the game, but I think we're going to just see it growing steadily for the next few years.
We are. And I know Russ always jokes that he's going to leave us after like five or so years. You know, he told his wife mm-hmm. that he'd do this for 5 years and yes. then yeah. probably he's going to retire. Like his goal is to reach 1 million subs and then kind of that's it. And he might stay or he might not. And yeah. to me, it's wild. I'm like, but you are the guy in all
you're
of
the
this.
Man.
Like, you're the one leading. You're leading us into battle, sir. And it got even worse because I got to meet the dude at CES this year. And we went to
yes,
Vegas together.
I watched your guys' coverage of that. It's very nice, yeah.
And I got to know him as not as a YouTuber, just as like a friend. And by the way, he's the same guy. On or off camera, except off camera.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You give him
there's
a couple
no,
of
like,
beers.
Veil and, dropping.
And yeah. he has, and we had some fun talks, but I'm just
give
like,
him a
dude,
couple of beers. Okay. Interesting.
I'm like, you gotta, he kicked my ass at Tekken, Street Fighter. Pretty much every game we played on that trip, he's really good at video games. And I realized just how not good I am yet. I'm working.
Because he underplays that on his channel. He makes it seem like he's just kind of discovered this game playing for the first time.
He showed me the Contra test, Hadoukens, Shurikens. What the hell? I don't know. I play Twisted Metal too. I just shoot missiles. Like I'm simple, really. I like yeah. games that are fun. I like explosions. Okay. I like big
you're
bum
a man.
Bastic. Anyways, yeah, Russ, cool guy. And so we're like, no, man, if you quit YouTube, I don't know. I'm going to eat a hat or something. I don't know what threat I can give him, but he needs to just, and he's the one guy I think who has the chance of getting to 1 million subs and then continuing that down to earth nature that he has in a more, like, I think he can sustain that and other content creators might not be able to always. I've seen a lot of times where it's like over the years, the videos get a bit more watered down, maybe a bit more lazy, maybe a bit more like they think they can kind of coast, and you can't do that on YouTube. You can't. You gotta stay true to yourself.
But the thing is, sorry, Russ, I know you've been in like a feature in every single episode, but the thing about Russ is, and I said this to one of the other guys, is he will never do that. So when I started this, I thought, okay, there's only one big guy, Retro Game Core. And I've seen this happen before. They hit about 300,000 subscribers and he's going to kind of start doing all sorts of weird things. He's not going to do that. He is so dedicated and so focused. And so he's just going to keep going. And that's the kind of guy we need leading the way. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Who else? You know, we also have similar in his similar bracket, you have Taki. Taki's focus mm-hmm. is very much on finding the perfect handheld and laser focus yeah. on this. And he'll show the metrics, like he'll show the deep, deep tech metrics, the specs. And he gets so passionate about that. You know, he's also the source of a lot of controversy that comes up in the scene. And I think it is that dedication to that passion of just if a device doesn't meet the promises of what's being told to him, he'll definitely call that out big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of us are scared to be as vocal as he can get. I mean, look what happens, right? You have a situation where brands maybe aren't so happy with him. Maybe they don't want to work with him anymore. You know, as a YouTube reviewer, it's tough because I feel that. And it's also like, for me, it's... I call things out. Like I'll beat on myself a little bit. The KTR1 live stream I did, I called this out maybe in an unfair way. I was very negative on it. That was also one of my off days, by the way. I was a little extra. I think I said it was a cancerous device. And I hated it. Now, those are passionate words. By the end of the live stream, I had hope, but I was pissed off because my buttons were sticking and I spent like 200 and some bucks on this damn thing. And so I felt very much like, okay, like that's kind of the feeling maybe Taki feels more often. And so putting myself in his mindset and his shoes, like, okay, I see that side of the fence, man, it doesn't feel good to live in that creative space.
I don't have the constitution for it, man.
That's a good way to put it. And so I actually don't really want to cover this device right now anyways, because it's not fun and it sort of...
Yeah, and you can't deal with all that right now.
Leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But the device on its own merits now, beautiful screen. You got one developer making this, one guy. He doesn't have a company like Retroid or AYN. So you got to take that into account.
Yeah, so you got to hand that to him,
But I still had to wait for this thing for years, backed it, started talking about it in 2020, and then the reality of it brought back memories of when the Retroid first showed up. And I guess this time I wasn't as forgiving, and I was pissed, and I showed that emotion on camera, and that was not my proudest moment, I have to say. And I decided then and there, last month, that's not the type of YouTuber I want to be. Okay. I want to, if I'm feeling emotionally, you know, pissed at a device beyond its capabilities, I need to stop, take a step back, maybe end the live stream early and say, you know what, guys, I can tell you this isn't the right time for this review. I'm going to, or this impressions or unboxing, I'm going to come back to this. Fair enough. And then I'll come back cool headed, thoughts prepared. And it can be a different experience where I'm not dealing with backlash from my emotions across Reddit and Discord and everywhere for a month straight. And it's like, it was my own fault, my own doing. But
I agree with you, because like the KTR1, I watched a little bit of your journey on that, because you were one of the hype guys for that device. You know, you were excited, you watched it, the launch and all the things, and shared it on the live streams and on the podcast and all that. And then you get emotionally invested. And I think that's what you're talking about. That's where you need to kind of govern yourself, because when you're upset about something letting you down personally, I don't feel it is valid to share that in a public forum. And those things never work. Like they might get views, but the wrong kind of views, you know?
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing. Some people assume that maybe I have ill intentions here, when it's like what you see. And I have to say, people, like, what you see with me is generally what you get. Maybe it's more exaggerated than me personally, but that day I was on camera as Peter, not as Stubbs. Stubbs would be a little more maybe positive while still feeling disappointment.
But that was,
that was my personal disappointment, great disappointment with device, not with the developer. I was frustrated with the timelines, but he's one guy against the world trying to bring this thing to market.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's fresh. Sorry. It's this happened. Interesting. This sold scenario happened right before hitting record with you. So
yeah, so I thought it'd be a good time to switch gears and talk about like hobbies, interests, you know, things you do apart from retro handouts.
Yeah. So other stuff from retro. I do other stuff besides retro handhelds. What are they? I don't know.
I don't know. Apparently.
I still like to write music. I still like to play my guitar. That's my... I haven't done it a lot lately, but I recently put out a new album called Weary Hearts, and I...
Oh, cool.
It's the most proud I think I've been I've done four records now of my own material. Okay. And I think I'm the most proud of this one because I think it's the most honest I've been during writing. The earlier records was more, I don't know, trying to prove something to the world or, you know, like, oh, I want to sound just like Smashing Pumpkins, or I want to really sound like the perfect mix of the late 2000s band 303. Mixed with, you know, City of Color, mixed with Blink-182. Like, I was always trying to sound like my idols that I liked. This last one felt really good because it was just me, and it was a grief album. So I had lost my grandmother to COVID. She lived to be 101.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Badass. Okay. Badass German. Yeah. Album. Very, very close. Many years. It took care of her the last few years at the end. And that, again, why I think I not only was I going through a divorce when I started the community, but dealing with my grandmother who's in failing health. And I think the distraction of all this had even more so was needed. And so I spun even more plates, you know. And so getting the chance to vent finally all those emotions from the last few years into an album felt so good. And yeah, it's like a pop punk alt rock record, but I like to sing and play guitar. And you do too, by the way. I saw your Cranberries cover today. That was fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Did I leave that live? I think I did. Yeah. And I unlisted a lot of videos, but yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thanks, man. So is that album on Spotify so people can check it out?
Oh, my music? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's on all the places you find music. Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp, PeterArvidsonMusic.com. That's where you find the gateway to all my places. I have some fun music videos my wife and I made together.
Below.
And yeah, it's my big passion. I haven't done it as much recently since RH has gotten bigger, and I want to get back to it. Besides that, I really like to read. I'm an avid reader, especially of like weird nonfiction stuff. I mean, I'm talking aliens, you know, I'm talking like what the hell's going on with
that kind of thing.
Crop circles. You know, I'm not like Tom DeLonge level conspiracy nut or anything, but I definitely enjoy
nonfiction stuff. Okay.
Like Coast to Coast. Art Bell was fun.
Interesting.
And like weird metaphysical topics are interesting to me. So
yeah.
The Y Files is my favorite YouTube channel. The Y Files, I highly recommend anyone check out if you want to just find the most neutral point of view you can for, is Sasquatch real? You know, things like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I like reading, and also I like riding my bike. I like walking my dogs. I like long walks on the beach with my wife, and mainly beyond like all the hobbies, ADHD, whatever it is I do, I mainly love hanging out with my kids. Like my kids are my complete joy. Like they fill my heart. RH fills my heart in a way. My kids are what give me purpose in my life.
Cool, man.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're a dad too, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Two kids. Yeah.
Two kids. What? Are they younger?
7 and 10. My daughter is 10 and my son is 7.
10 and 7. Wow. 10-year-old. Oh, so you're almost to a teenager with one of them there.
Dude, don't even start. She's already beginning. Like, it's just crazy.
Tell her, keep her away from like TikTok and stuff. Like, I heard that's like a thing to do these days.
Yeah. Yeah. We do need to watch all that stuff. It's crazy. Yeah. So it's actually interesting you talking about it because, my dad passed away further away than your gran, and I also wrote an album out of that.
Really?
And
where do we find it?
I never put it on. So I do have some stuff on Spotify, but I don't have that album. I was thinking the other day I need to load it, but very personal songs. The one song, so my kids are adopted, and an interesting story is the one song I wrote about like hearing her voice through the wind from wherever she is in the world. And it turned out I was writing that song around the time she was born. So I wrote the song in October and she was born in October. It's crazy.
Gives me goosebumps.
Like, it's just beautiful. Yeah.
My favorite memory with my grandmother was actually, well, there are many great memories, but I guess, very happy that I got to be with her right when she passed. And I had written a song for her because she had a stroke a few years before. So I knew this was going to happen eventually. And so I wrote a song for her called Painted Hills. And it was just about the passing from life to death. And I ended up playing that for her finally as she was passing. And like there was an harpist, like, you want the harpist to come in? I'm like, I got this. It's all right. I'll be the harpist.
That's crazy, man.
And I don't know. I don't know if she heard it, you know, but I think she might've been not conscious anymore, but it didn't, you know, it meant a lot to have that moment And that's one of the most meaningful moments in my life. The harpist did come and play, by the way, and he was very good. Very beautiful.
Cool.
Like, I don't, wow. I don't want to take like grandma's death music and like hog, like I do on my podcast, hog all the airspace. Yeah. But I wanted her to hear my song. Mm. At that moment.
No, that is special. Oh.
Yeah, but I feel you there. You know, it's, I think grief is, oh God, it's a son of a bitch, man. It, people are like, give it a year, you know, you get to have a year to grieve. And it's not like that. It's a journey. It's been 2 years now and I'm still all fucked up from it. You know, I'm just now having to sort out her estate and figure out what do I do with this power wheelchair, all this stuff. So
it's crazy, man.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to hear about your dad too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like we responded very similarly, like around that time. It's actually my dog means so much to me. Around that time I was having like panic attacks and the only thing that calmed me down was my dog.
You've had panic attacks too? I wasn't going to talk about that today, but I think I will. Yeah. Do you have panic disorder? Yeah. Do you have recurring ones?
I don't know. It's not so much anymore now. I just struggle with a bit of anxiety, but around the time of my dad's death, it was like ongoing. Like, and I was like you, trying to spin so many plates. And so, for example, I actually have a theology degree. I've been wondering whether I should share this. Yeah. And so I was involved quite heavily with a church in that. And so all I remember is...
Which church? Like,
it's called CRC. It's a big mega church here in South Africa.
CRC. It's like an evangelical Christianity type.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so I just remember leading the music and full on like going into sort of panic attack mode. And all I could think of was, I wish my dog was here. It's a very strange time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always remember. And for me, similar, like, I don't know. My dog sure is good therapy dog, but my grandmother is who I went to. Anytime my life took a downturn, you know, I had a life transition, I'd go live with her for a little while. And so she was my comfort. And after that, now it's like, you got to comfort yourself. You don't have these people and your dog, hopefully your dog lives a very long time, but learning to self-soothe is so tough. It's so tough. But that's interesting. That's interesting. So you were leading a evangelical church band. I'd like to have that experience once. I always wanted to. I always wanted to play in a church band when I was younger. When I was more like when I had a religion in my life, but I'm more ethereal now or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting times. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you say you've struggled with a similar thing. So it's interesting. We had a similar walk in that regard.
Yeah. And that's something I did get the diagnosis on, panic disorder, it's called. And it's where you have initial panic attacks. Me, it happened after my grandmother's stroke, I guess, for the first time. But it actually occurred because I was in too many bands at that time. And I just was too stressed out. Not surprised, I'm sure, because I've always been this way, like I am with RH spinning things. But how many bands can I be in at one time without going insane? You know, how many different genres can you be in? Well, I reached my limit of that. I had a major panic attack, my first one. And then I was so afraid because it feels like you're having a heart attack. It feels like you're dying. And I was so afraid of that happening again that I would have panic attacks. Being anxious about having a panic attack.
Crazy,
and your brain gets in this loop circuitry where you can't escape from it. And so the only time I wasn't having panic attacks daily was when I was making content, was when I was working heavily on an RH project.
Yeah.
And so I just fed everything from my psyche into this stuff every day. Push, push, push. I don't know where we're going with this. I don't know where we're going with this stuff, but one of the best community to talk about this hobby ever. I want to have the best place. And it's
I'm going to be the guy.
I don't want to be the guy, but I want to I want to build it, and then I want to give it to somebody to run. I always thought I'm going to give this to somebody, yeah. And I keep trying okay. that, and people keep rejecting it. They're like, I don't want that. You're doing that stuff. I'm like, no. It's not about my stuff. Here's the community. Now I'm going to go off and do this, but I don't know if that's possible now. I've promised people that I'm here. But earlier this year, it was tough. With Thor leaving, it was really tough to continue. He was we got close, like bro marriage, COVID close. I don't know. I'm sure other people have gone through this where you have deep relationships that are online only. We didn't see eye to eye in the end, and he ended up leaving kind of in a, I haven't opened up about this, but he kind of, threw his hands up, said, I'm done with you and you're too impulsive and all this stuff. And I'm going to go do my own thing. And I'm like, all right, man, it's tough. It's tough. Best friend. Like, how is this brand going to be without you? But people reminded me, I was here and started this before Thor was here. And I went back to that original idea and started making content because he was sort of in charge of a lot of stuff and directed my content for a long time, like directed what I'd be doing next for my video stuff. Then I was all of a sudden rudderless, depressed as hell for like 3 or 4 months there. I didn't care about my video quality for a while. I just kind of uploaded bullshit. And thank God. Thanks people for sticking through that period with me earlier this year. I think when I started reviewing Switch cart switchers accessories, and I don't even like Switch that much, that I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I lost my way on this journey, and had to pivot back to what I love. And so, I found my way now, and I'm sticking with it. Yeah. I can promise you all that. So, panic disorder, panic attacks, they're fucking son of a bitch.
Shame. That's crazy, man. It's actually interesting hearing you talk that through because I'm I don't know what it is about this episode, but I'm sharing all the things I don't want to share. But I'm currently in therapy.
What's the worst that can happen?
That can happen? No, so I'm currently in therapy.
Me too.
My therapist. Okay, cool. And my therapist diagnosed me with ADHD. And so when I started therapy, she wrote like the first session, she was like, ADHD ? And then from the next 10 sessions, she was just, all the questions she was asking was trying to figure out if this guy is ADHD. And so I'm like, I have anxiety, I have this. And so anxiety and like panic attacks and stuff are all kind of comorbid to ADHD. So it is interesting whether you are on that spectrum or not, because my whole life has been a cycle of doing too much and having a breakdown, doing too much and having a breakdown. That's literally been my life, my entire life.
Me too. Yeah. Holy crap. Me too. Yes. You see how much you can take on until you literally bust. And it's part of that's like stimulating and addicting, how much can I
dopamine.
Do as a human? And you feel at the peak of it, you feel so alive. Everything's scary. Yeah. It could come crumbling down, but you're so alive right now as a human being. Whew. And then you hit the breaking point and it feels so cathartic to then cast off all of it and completely let it wash away.
Let it just crash.
Leave it burning in a pile of ashes and then go do the next thing.
That's very ADHD.
Very ADHD.
So and interesting, man.
It is. Yeah. It's wild, but there can be a cure. I don't know if there's a cure, but finding something like this hobby where I'm able to almost reinvent my love for it I have to kind of reinvent my love for it every few months, really, because otherwise it gets stale. So that's why people see like my video focus and how the videos I make, the style changes pretty often. Mm. I'm not like Russ where he's able to make one template. He has a green cutting mat. He has an overhead camera and then he has a section that he talks to the camera. Mm. I'm like, I do like 4 or 5 videos in one style. just switch it up. I'm gonna do it like this. Now I'm gonna do live streams mostly only because guess what? I despise editing. My hands are starting like early, I don't know, rheumatoid arthritis or something runs in my family. And it hurts. It physically hurts to edit videos and I don't want to do it. Mm. So why not make everything a live stream? Like, why not just unbox, even review the damn thing? I tried that with the Retroid Pocket 2S even. It wasn't too horrible. It was a challenge, you know, but yeah, using the device for a week and then doing a live stream and then saying, okay, here's my thoughts after a week. Why not do it for 3 months? Here's my thoughts after 3 months with this device doing a live stream. Because then there's no editing. Problem is, people aren't going to be patient to sit for 2 hours, 3 hours for everything you're going to say. You got to have timestamps.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I'm still looking for that balance for me. I'm still looking.
Yeah.
I want to offer value, but I also am a dad of three. And I have a day job and it keeps me very busy. A marriage.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
And other things going on in my life that I don't really have time to make. And my videos take longer, I think, than Russ's or a lot of other people's, because it takes me 3-4 weeks to, like, my GPD Win 4 video, almost 2 months to make that thing. And at the end, it did okay as a video, you know. The brand was kind of mad that I took so long. Whatever. They'll be okay. And I don't know. Was it worth it? You know, was it worth all that time and energy? And in the end, I could have pumped out, 20 live streams. I could have covered a lot of devices in that time.
Yeah.
However, I am more proud of that video than any other video I've done on the channel. There's so much quality in it. I really did a delicate touch on it. I made it everything that I would ever want. I'm like, if I were to make one video and I were to focus and make it like a song, like my songs, I really, I'm the opposite. I love the songwriting process, recording, editing, all of it. If I were to think of a song as a video, what would I do? And so I made that video. Dude, I can't reproduce that every month. I can't do that. I don't have the constitution, as you would say.
Yeah, it is tough. So this month has been a good month for me. Yeah. Like I put a lot of effort in this month with videos. The podcast is nice because it gives me the ability to make a video that's not too much editing. So it's not as much of my time, but, the videos I've put out, I've put a lot of time into, and me as well. I'm not sure I can keep that going. Like, I'm very proud of my Wolf Den video. As much as people get upset by it, if you actually watch the video, you know,
people were upset
a lot
at that
of
one.
Research.
I mean, you said what everyone was thinking, and I love Bob Wolf, by the way, and I want to have him on the podcast.
No,
but
it's cool.
On the 405 video he did with Gamma OS, and he covered that. He shouldn't have made that video. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know if that was the right topic for him.
But I mean, my video literally just took a disagreement that I had with his video. And like Russ said, it was a disguised 405M versus RP3 plus metal review, which it was. And that's the whole thing. All I wanted to do was trick people into clicking on the video and they go, oh yeah, no, this is the content I want to watch. And then
I
watch
see,
it,
you know? I see what you did there. Yeah. I've been experimenting with the clickbaity stuff too lately, especially in our YouTube shorts, because that's a whole different audience than our long form content. It's more like general world audience.
And
so you like, look at this crazy Game Boy, tiny Game Boy, look what it can do. Oh my God. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's, and so you got to be more clickbaity because you're now showing this to the TikTok generation.
Mm.
Emojis, one emoji, big, bold lettering, 30 seconds or less, short attention span, bumping music, no words.
Well, it's interesting because I've been following a guy, you might know him as a camera reviewer, but anyway, he's done really well over the, Jevon Dovey, I think it's Jevon. Anyway, popular guy. And
I don't know any camera reviewers except you.
Oh, of course. Why would you know?
Should I get the E10? Is that worth it? Or the E1?
It depends on the use case. I know Joey didn't like it. he didn't like the E10 because that kit lens can't focus very closely. So then you buy it and then you've got to buy another lens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm simple
But
though. Like,
anything, so.
as long as there's a bokeh effect that it can do, I'm like, cool. It's like a professional DSLR tile style camera. Great.
It's
It's
fine.
only $400.
Yeah, so then you might like it. But anyway, the point was that he's like just a note for your channel is he did this whole thing on shorts. So he launched an adventure channel with shorts and then started making long format video. And he got the channel up to like 10,000 subs before he even first posted a video. He did a really good job. But with all that research, then he transferred the shorts knowledge he had gained to his main channel, and it was actually harming his income and his overall metrics. So what was happening is it was actually he was getting more views, but less engagement and less ad revenue.
Because because he did the long form or because he did the shorts?
Because he went to shorts. So because he did more shorts on his channel, it actually damaged, not damaged his channel, it was harming his channel.
Really? I always
So at
wonder
the
about that.
moment, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we don't generate revenue from the shorts really at all. But what it does bring in is subscribers from India. Damien put out a short for us a month or so ago. Now it's at almost 4 million views, and it's our only short that's done this. The other ones are pretty standard numbers. And it's all from like India. I don't know how that happened or
Yeah,
why, but our
that
subscriber
is
count
interesting.
is getting up to like 35,000 now. Over half of our subscribers are from that short last month. What is going on? I don't understand
Crazy.
it. It's cool as
Yeah.
far as
You see,
like,
I mean,
oh, clout,
that's
I have
working for you.
35,000 subscribers, but what value does that bring and how is it hurt? 'Cause it's so out of left field, almost. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand YouTube and its algorithm at all.
Well, the shorts algorithm is still new. That's why the research is ongoing, and so this guy's noticed. So yeah, I would say just keep an eye on it. Make sure
I
it's
don't
not
want
harming
to,
your channel.
exactly. You don't want to damage the main channel content because shorts are the hip thing to do. And everyone's like, make shorts, make shorts, make shorts. So now I'm almost thinking, and the other ones haven't done that well. And so I'm thinking moving away from the more clickbaity, more towards like, what if we just do our regular thing, but in a short form, you know? Or what if we clip out moments of the podcast, add text people can read so they can, you know, poop or whatever and watch it without listening to it, and do shorts that way, because that seems like a thing, but that means more editing. So it leads me to wanting to delegate and find an editor. But that's an editor is not somebody who's going to volunteer. You're going to be paying an editor.
Oh, for
We,
sure.
you know, we pay all of our staff, but in handhelds. And so an editor, we need to budget for that. And I need to, yeah, I'm on the lookout. If someone's out there watching this interview, I'm looking for a shorts editor.
Yeah, I actually might have someone that can help you. I'll send you his details.
Well, howdy doody. All right.
Cool, Stubbs. This was great. I think we overshared, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad
It's
thing,
an
on
ADHD
both
trait,
sides.
believe it or not. And when you get two ADHD people together in a conversation, we'll bounce off each other and build a cacophony of oversharing. And now guess what? The world gets to view that, and that's something.
You're welcome.
And guess what? You get to do post-production, so edit out anything you hate, and you can frame this
We'll
really
see how it
however you
comes
want. But nobody really wants to hear any more after this. Well, stay tuned for the next one. Who is your next? I
Exactly.
heard you're getting Aish on the show, by the way.
Yes, yeah, he's busy with some things, but he's going to get back to me. Yeah, we're just trying to nail down a time, and we have
He smells
Tickweed coming
great.
on.
He smells great.
Does
So
he? Well,
I went on a
that
zoo
doesn't help
date with
me.
him once.
A zoo date,
Go to the zoo, to
as
the
you do.
sand, not to
I
see
thought
the
maybe you went to go
reviewer
visit zoo.
zoo. Not, we didn't date. We didn't. Oh boy, this could go. This is
It
now
was
sounding
three
like one of our
guys.
live streams. Anyways, I look forward to watching your content with H. He's a gentleman. He's a good guy.
Yeah, and with Tech Dweeb, he's staying in character, so it's not removing the veil.
Tech Dweeb is going to come on.
Yes, I'm interviewing Tech Dweeb as Tech Dweeb. It's
He's
gonna
coming on
be.
our show too, and I was wondering if he. I didn't ask him if he's going to be
Yeah, I think he's
character.
gonna be Tech Dweeb. I think so. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous because I don't know what questions do I ask this guy. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
So is he going to be? I mean, he's not going to show his face, I imagine. He's probably going to have the hands
He
with the
does the hand
sleeves.
thing, yeah.
I would imagine it's the opposite of this episode. Probably
How do you
not
mean?
Well, he's probably not going to open up about mental health right off the bat in character. Maybe he will. Maybe he will.
We'll see. I don't know. He's big on also talking about ADHD, so we'll see.
Really? Well, okay. Well, that would be really, really cool. I see him in our live streams a lot. I interact with him through there, and I've yet to talk to him, so I need to... I'm excited
he's
for that.
He's excellent. Yeah, he's excellent at walking this line of humor and actually really deep and meaningful. So he's actually got a video about focus and being productive and stuff. And I watched it and then I was like, wow, that was actually really deep, you know? So he's brilliant. Cool. Stubbs, Peter, thank you very much.
Aiden.
This was excellent.
Walls.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Hope you all did too.
All right. Cheers.